Welcome to Social Zombies Gone Wild, totally exposed and uncensored. As a disclaimer, are there any any people from the Girls Gone Wild franchise in this room? Anyone besides Matt Neely?
Yeah, but he was just one of the girls.
Okay. Just want to make sure because I'm not copywriting anything.
Licensing agreements, those types of things.
We want to make sure we're all clear there. So, myself, I'm Tom Esten. I'm a senior security consultant at SecureState here in Cleveland, Ohio. I'm the founder of a website called socialmediasecurity.com. It's a site that has downloads for privacy and security guides, especially for Facebook, links to videos, blogs, research, all kinds of things around the area of social media and security and privacy of it. I'm known for a Facebook privacy and security guide, which you can download. Highly recommend you look at that. It kind of gives you a nice baseline for your privacy settings within Facebook. Share it with your friends and family. I'm a blogger. My blog is spylogic.net. I'm blogging for many years now. Co-host of two podcasts. One of them is Security Justice with Matt and Dave.
Cheer.
And Chris, somewhere in here. And then the Social Media Security Podcast I co-host with Scott Wright up in Canada. Yep, Canada. Awesome country. Yes.
America's hat.
And I'm fond of the undead.
That says fond on the undead. Just wanted to point that
Thank
out.
Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, no problem.
Always helping.
I think I changed it to that when
you
said it to me for edits. So I'm Kevin Johnson, nerd. I'm a consultant with, security consultant with Secure Ideas, a company out of Florida. My boss is in the audience rating me, so that'd be nice. I'm also an author and primary instructor for the web pen testing course from SANS, and the instructor of the Samurai class, which we'll be hosting at Black Hat. It's going to be fun. We'll see. A two-day class. We're doing it twice, Justin Searle and I, who did not make it because he got stranded in Minnesota last night.
Is he coming in?
He's supposed to be here at noon from Minnesota, and him and his son got stuck. Internet Storm Center Handler just became one of those end of last year, and I am an open source bigot. Currently, I run about 9 open source projects. If you're thinking about starting an open source project, take one word of advice from me, run. Don't do it. People are rude. But I, founder of the excuse me? I forgot Hacker Princess, yes. I knew that was coming up. Samurai WTF project, a live environment for web pen testing, Ocoso, Laudanum, a lot of fun little projects. I started the base project, even though, let's just make it very clear, I don't run base anymore. Thank you. I'm still getting complaints and emails from people. And I just started the weaponized flash project just recently, plus some other little ones.
What's the password for Samurai?
Bite me. It's yeah, B-I-T-E. Yeah, the password for Samurai is Samurai. If you're not smart enough to figure that out yourself, you shouldn't be using a pen test distribution. Do us all a favor, step away from the computer. It irritates me. I get it all the time. I actually just got an email from somebody 3 days ago. What is the password for Samurai? And when it came in, they sent it to info@secureideas.com. So, of course, Frank got a copy. Denise got a copy. Frank turns to me and goes, I thought you were making that up. People really ask you that? It's on the login page. For anybody who hasn't used Samurai, it's right there under the form field for logging in. So let's get started.
Yeah. All right. So this talk is about, obviously, location-based services and geolocation. So what are location-based services? Well, they are exactly that. They are services that provide your location to others. Could be friends, companies, advertisers. We'll talk a little bit about that and some of the privacy issues around that. And they're really built into everything, as you'll soon find out. Everything from your mobile phone to the browsers that we use, it's pretty much everywhere. So the popularity of these location-based services have just increased just since like 2008 when we started seeing more and more of this stuff come out. This is just kind of a time, just kind of showing you through a period of a year, just the dramatic increase. And it's only been getting even worse now since 2009. We've seen lots and lots more people using location-based services and advertisers and companies. Some interesting things we'll talk about later is these companies that actually correlate and aggregate geolocation information and sell that information to other companies. So, you know, there's people out there that like to use their mobile devices to check into various places, gain mayorships and things like that. Some of this information can be shocking to others. Wow, Susie, I didn't know you were at this club. That's pretty cool. It kind of drives conversations with people, especially on Facebook and Twitter.
I'm sure she's happy that picture is on both our presentation and the internet.
Yes, she is. Yes. Absolutely. People check in at vacations. Hey, Mom, I'm over here in Venice and doing these great things. Then there's the stalker issue. This is a major problem. You probably don't want this girl finding you.
This is what happens if you friend me on Facebook,
in case this girl comes after you. Yeah. Very, very bad things. And then, of course, there's the zombie apocalypse. So, by checking into too many places, this could happen. And this is definitely something you don't want to see.
Zombies do use smartphones.
Yes.
They will track you.
Yes, they're smarter than the average zombie. So the market for this, it's really enormous when you think about it. This was a recent statistic that a bunch of social media companies had collaborated on. And they figure that just in the mobile device space, this is going to be worth about $3 billion in 2013.
I actually disagree with this statistic. I think it's low. I think if you start combining all of the advertising revenue and the ability to do more sales and things like that, it'll be higher than that.
Absolutely. So we'll talk a little bit about the evolution of where this all started and kind of where we're at today with location-based services. I'll start with the IP address, right? This is the original way of performing any kind of geolocation check. So this is determined through ISP lookups, Whois records. It's been prone to misleading results. For example, back in the day, it would give you a general area and say, hey, you're in somewhere in Ohio, not exactly where. And this, of course, is popular with those banners and adult advertising. Who has seen this? Be honest, right?
You all have, we know.
Yep. Yep, adult singles looking for fun in Cleveland, Ohio, and you're like, wow,
Frank's
how do they know
this?
I'm in Cleveland, Ohio?
Frank's on this.
Frank's on?
Yeah.
Okay. And this is all through your IP address. This is where these ads come from. However, just recently, in the last 2 weeks, some researchers have found new ways to get even closer results. So typically, with the IP address, you could find somebody within 200 kilometers, and it was a time-based type of thing. So you send a packet, you see how long it takes to come back, and then they could estimate your location. Now they found ways that they can find you within a few hundred meters all through your IP address. So of course, this creates new ways for things like advertisers and the government to possibly track you.
The government wouldn't do that, would they?
The government would never track anyone. That's absurd. Using proxies seems to help mitigate some of this, but who uses proxies? And of course, who controls the proxies on the other end?
You use a proxy?
We know you do, Iron
Geek. For your porn.
Well, that's
just, I don't care. Oh, okay.
So mobile devices, right? So the GPS in the mobile phone, I mean, truly revolutionary. It's changed the way that we do everything. Google Maps was similar. How many people actually use a map that you went to a gas station and bought? No one uses that stuff anymore.
I don't even think they give them out anymore.
I don't even know. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're pretty much considered obsolete with Google, with the GPS in your phone. We have GPSs in our cars now. It's truly been revolutionary.
It's become just expected, right? You no longer have to think about, we wanted ice cream last night.
Yeah.
Pull out the phone, do a search for Eastern Custard Company. We have directions. That's
absolutely simple. It's that easy, especially with our mobile devices now. So all this is just all packed into our phones. We have the GPS, we have Wi-Fi, we have Bluetooth, RFID, 3G, Edge, CDMA, GSM. It's endless. We're just packing these phones with all of this tech. And of course, all of this has geolocation and location-based services implications in all these different technologies. So you can imagine how easy it is. If I can't get your IP address for whatever reason, I'm going to use the GPS, or I'm going to get it through your Bluetooth Mac or something else. There's always a failover in our mobile devices. So what could possibly go wrong with all of this tech being packed into our phones and being used in browsers and everything
else?
Right? Your location can be tracked, and it can be manipulated. And it can be manipulated pretty easily. So where does this geolocation thing come from? Well, again, we mentioned the IP address. RFID, Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, MAC addresses, the GSM, cell phone IDs, and of course manual user input. So there's ways that we'll talk about where I can just change my location to whatever I want it to be, as long as I have my mobile device and an app that does it. So here's some service examples. So anyone know about how the there's a company called Skyhook that actually drives around and looks for wireless access points, and they plot those on a map. Here's an example of the Skyhook map. Well, this is used to, if your Wi-Fi is on an Apple iPhone, your iPhone actually uses Skyhook to look and triangulate your location. Skyhook takes this information, has agreements with Apple and other services, and sells that information to them. So here's a shot of a car in Europe that drives around and does it, but usually they're the white vans, or they may be black vans, I'm not really sure. You probably don't want black vans driving around your neighborhood to begin with, especially your neighborhood, because they know you're a hacker.
They're never there, never.
Exactly. What we've really been seeing recently that's a little more disturbing is this emergence of geo-services. So these are all these providers of geolocation data like Skyhook, but these companies are now popping up and they're providing this information to third parties and others. Simple Geo is one company that does this. They're really on this bandwagon, something called geofences, which is a little more scary. So geofences, it's been around for a couple years, but it's gaining a little more popularity. This is where your phone determines if you're in a location or not. So your phone is automatically configured. When you enter, say, Starbucks, and Starbucks has geofencing technology, you're going to get a pop-up and it says, hey, welcome to Starbucks. Here's a coupon for free latte. What this reminds me of course, is Minority Report. Anyone see that movie where you're walking around
Everybody,
things are customized to you, and it's a little scary.
The thing that surprised me about this one is, you know, a few years ago, retailers started talking about RFID, right? There's this big thing about Walmart was going to start putting RFID tags in purchases. So the box on the shelf would have an RFID tag, and they'd be able to track that box throughout the store and then track whether or not you actually bought it. So they could see somebody picked the box up, oh, I picked it up off this end cap, I put it in my cart, three aisles later I put it back on the shelf because I decided not to get it. Why? What was the reason for that? And there was a huge uproar about, oh my gosh, you know, Walmart's going to be tracking, the grocery store's going to be tracking, and people just went ballistic. Now jump forward a few years, now it's built into the phone. Forget RFID, because RFID is scary. Geolocation's not. And now people are saying, oh, well, you're going to give me a coupon. Great, let me subscribe. Let me turn that service on. It's the exact same feature.
But I get 10 cents back.
Yeah, exactly. On 10 cents on something I wasn't going to buy anyways, but now will. And it adds 10 cents to the cost in the first place. Yeah, but we've accepted it because we've changed how it's presented. Now it's a benefit to you for me to know exactly where in the store you are, instead of before it was just a benefit to the retailer.
Right. And iOS 4, guys, already supports this. If you have an application that enables it, it's probably going to be enabled automatically. And this Simple Geo company can do this in 6 lines of code. I mean, that's it. 30 lines of support on the iOS 4 platform.
Even I can write 30 lines of code. Right.
Not bad. So, of course, you know, nothing to see here. They really don't want you to know too much about this technology. So this is a quote from TechCrunch with the Social Geo founder, Joe Stump, who says, so you basically just say track user, and we handle that in our API along with record history, and I can come back and say, show me the last 10 places the user was. He even says, creepy, sort of, powerful and easy, yes. That should scare you right there, that this is the mentality of these companies that have your location data. And how easy it is, especially he mentions API. API means I can interface with that. So if I'm an attacker or a stalker or somebody else, I can interface with the technology now to pull your location.
They recognize how scary they're doing, and they don't care. They're embracing it, and
absolutely,
we're letting them.
Right. And it gets even better, because now this is implemented into our browsers. As Kevin will say, you know, the
crack smokers.
Crack smoking developers, absolutely. Right?
I love the W3C. Is anybody here a member of the W3C? Because I want to buy you a beer later. Just the feature sets you guys are deploying in my browser as a penetration tester whose job is to steal data from organizations, this is beautiful. Please keep it up. So. Oh man, it is.
We're on the mailing list.
Absolutely hilarious. I'm on the mailing list. I'm on all the mailing lists, right? The W3C has started to push new feature sets with HTML5. HTML5 is one of the best things to happen in the exploit and attack-driven world ever. It's even better than Microsoft. It's almost as good as Adobe. Okay, it's just amazing. But built into your browser is the ability with one line of code to grab your geolocation. I can just say, hey, where are you? There. It's get location. If I want to do another one, I can actually do a watch position. And it won't just grab your location. It will grab your location and refresh until I tell it to stop. So as you walk around, I'm tracking you using JavaScript. And I know, you run no script. Really? You put that in your browser? But we won't go there. So geolocation built into the browser, all of these browsers support this, and more, IE9, you know, Microsoft's bid for a more secure browser, geolocation, right? They've actually started to implement this stuff. Up until 9, I actually found myself recommending to people to use IE8. I couldn't believe it left a bad taste in my mouth.
Late to the game. They were the last browser to embrace geo services into the browser.
But now they're doing it hardcore. So if we just flip. It isn't standardized yet. They are building more. But not standardized yet just means they haven't officially said, we bless this, right? The geolocation is standardized. All the browsers use it the same way. It's there. It's just not an official standard. So at any time, the W3C could come forward and say, well, we've changed it. The chance of that happening is minor, right? I do recommend following the mailing list, just if you hate your job alone. The laughs you can get from this mailing list is great. Watching the Opera people try and actually make their browser a viable option by embracing geolocation is fun on its own. It's this simple, right? Navigator.geolocation.getCurrentPosition. Done. You have it. We've wrapped around, you know, verifying that it's supported, right? Simple code there. That's all it takes. Now, at that point, all we have to do is have that loaded onto a page. Yes? So the question is for the recording, across what platforms is this supported? All the ones we mentioned earlier. Pretty much every major browser out there today, Linux, Mac, Windows, I don't care, this works. Nice and cross-compatible. Yep. Matter of fact, they didn't even do the crap they did with the XML HTTP request object where they changed the library in IE, right? It's the same library. So even that's cross-compatible. Yes, sir?
Is it possible, short of just turning JavaScript altogether off or something, to actually
disable the support? No, don't run no script.
That's controversial.
You don't want to start that rant. Can you turn it off? In some of the browsers, yes. That is a feature. As a matter of fact, as we'll talk about a little bit more, in most browsers, most environments, it will actually prompt you and say, hey, do you want to allow this website to have access to your geolocation? And you have to say no. Of course, the people in this room would probably say, I don't say no. I say yes every time. It's whatever. But do your users, do your friends, do your family, right? So yes, in some cases, you can turn it off. In most cases, that's not an option. You have to actually just say no.
Right. Who surfs the web without JavaScript? I mean, really?
Yeah, you can't in most cases. Even better, W3C has started to come up with this idea that we're going to actually start using a SQL database storage in the browser because, you know, I want my browser to be an RDBMS. because Oracle's unbreakable. We might as well make it IE. It will make it faster, right? So the idea here, you know, Sammy Kamkar came out with the Ever Cookie, brilliant piece of work. I mean, beautiful, beautiful piece of work. But now we can take this idea of having a storage location on your browser, combine it with the idea of geolocation tracking, and now as I track your location, I can just shove it into that local SQL database. And the next time you come to my site, not only can I find out where you are now, but I can find out where you were the last time you were visiting my site. Than where you were the last time, and the last time, and the last time. And from a retailer perspective, think about that. How many of you go into, I don't know, Fry's, and then go online and check the price, at Amazon or Newegg or whatever to see. Well, now Newegg says, oh, they're coming from Amazon. They're in the Fry's location. Okay, we'll present them with a different price or a different marketing, right? Because I can track what store you're in down to, right? You're here. No big deal. Bound with the SQL database? Done. It's just crazy.
So, of course, it gets even more interesting and more fun with social networks.
I love social networks.
So, of course, we all seen, you know, Foursquare, Gowalla, these types of fun games that are, well, supposed to be fun, right? I find them fun because I get to, you know, fake my location, and 1 minute I'm in Disney World, the next minute I'm in Paris, France, the next minute I'm at the Monroeville Zombie Museum in Pennsylvania. Yeah. But that's just me.
I ask a question? Is there anybody in the room that actually uses these systems for why they were designed to be used? Because I've not met anybody security-related that does. Right. I mean, all the people on my news feed on Facebook do that aren't security-related.
Right. But,
yeah, nobody. Okay.
So Twitter. Twitter is nice. It's kind of opt-in by default. You actually have an option in your Twitter profile to enable geolocation. Pulls the geolocation from your browser. The problem with this, though, is a lot of users forget about it, that they've enabled it. So there's some tools that we're going to talk about in a little bit that can actually go out and pull all of your location data from Twitter and then correlate all of that information for you to give you a nice, creepy kind of stalker feed of where you've been for the last 5,000 tweets, which is pretty cool. Google Latitude is another service. You know, Google's really struggled with the social networking aspects. I mean, we've heard of Buzz and all the
Wave.
Other, yeah, Wave. Hey, Google Wave, goodbye.
Yeah.
didn't really make an impact. Did anybody here use those services for anything? You? Well, yeah, you used it for evil, but.
Everybody assumes it's evil.
It is.
It was.
So.
But it.
I don't
know. Yes. My evil bit's set.
I personally love Google services because I go back to the fact that, you know, you could use Google for everything. Spreadsheets, you know, Word documents.
Hacking.
Hacking, right, your email. And there's one password that protects all of that information, including your location-based information.
And how many of you have a strong Google password? Be honest. Not everybody in the room I notice.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right. MySpace. Who actually uses MySpace anymore? I mean, seriously.
How many other people laughed as loud as I did when MySpace asked you to like them on Facebook?
Yeah, that's good.
I almost wet myself. I was laughing so hard. I was like, damn, even you admit you fail. But
as we once said, social GeoCities is
it's the angel MySpace. Fire.
I'll be honest. I don't expect MySpace to be around the remainder of this year. I would say in the next couple months, they're going to be basically gone.
See, I disagree.
Really?
Yeah, because all the crap local bands use them as their website.
Until Facebook taps into that market.
All I'm saying is the crap local bands do it.
Right. There you go. Facebook Places. Facebook was the big boy coming in into the geolocation and location-based service market when they released Places last year. So this is, you know, Mark Zuckerberg's vision of 600 million users now all sharing their locations. I mentioned Kevin loves this because we've had some fun with this in the past. If you follow us on Facebook, we've probably sent some interesting things and put you in various locations across the globe.
I've been amazed to find out where I've been.
Yeah. without your knowledge. There's other newer type social networks coming out, like Sticky Bits, which actually allows you to tag your location to barcodes. So if I'm in Costco and I'm looking at a TV, I'm like, hey, maybe Kevin wants to know that I'm in Costco looking at this TV.
I do.
Yeah.
I stalk.
He
Tom.
Really cares about that. So I would do that to him. Social barcodes. So you could play a game called Barcode Hero now where... You know, I don't see the point of all this, but there's people that actually, these things download like hotcakes.
If you got a cape, though, I'd do it.
Really?
Yeah, if I was a barcode hero and actually had a cape.
With a barcode on you? And
yes.
Sweet.
Yes. Done.
I'd pay money to see that, actually.
Nice.
QR codes. Who's seen this QR code floating around?
Let's rephrase that. Uh-huh. Who scanned this barcode?
Yes. Yeah. I'm sorry. I just want to apologize.
His idea.
Rebecca Black, this is the kind of new Rebecca role. There was the Rick role, there was the Lava role that
Rebecca
Nathan Hamill introduced
role?
At DEF CON, and now the Rebecca role, right.
What's in a Rebecca role?
I don't want to know. I mean, something horrible.
We had sushi last night. I had actually never seen this video.
Yeah.
And so yesterday, Tom and I were talking, and he said, Kevin, you have to go watch it. I hate Tom.
Is it the most horrid thing you'll ever listen to?
I watched
Your
it last
ears
night.
Will bleed. Yeah. The point of all that really is with QR codes, the issue is you don't know where, just like obfuscated URLs, you don't know where this could take you. And with things coming out now for exploits for mobile browsers like Safari, I mean, if I'm Charlie Miller and I have an O-Day in my pocket every 2 weeks for Safari on your mobile phone, this is something to really consider.
Yeah, and we just recently joined the local Chamber of Commerce, right, in our area. And we went to the kickoff meet and greet meeting. And I'm surrounded by these people who have no idea about technology. And they actually, a number of them actually had name badges that had QR codes for their organization. And I talked to a couple, I'm like, hey, what made you do that? Because I knew we were gonna be talking about this, right? And I'm like, hey, what made you do that? Oh, somebody told me it was a great idea. Well, what does it do? Where does it go? Oh, I don't know. It somehow goes to my business. See, you're wearing a QR code with your company name and everything else associated with it, and you have no idea what it does.
It adds some interesting possibilities. Yeah. You see these at airports and things like that, and some of them are small enough where you could actually make yourself a sticker and stick your own QR code on top of that and then send them to Lemon Party or, you know, something really bad. So Dave is like, Lemon Party.
Yes, sir. Set can be your evil friend.
Link it to Set and you're doomed. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Set is beautiful.
Yes. So let's talk about the fun stuff now. How do we abuse all these location-based services, which is something I Kevin and I really enjoy on the side.
No. So
there's a couple different ways. With Google and Skyhook and those third-party services, there's ways you could do a denial of service. You could random generate SSIDs to throw off Skyhook. You could do these fake floods. There's hardware jamming, which we'll talk a little bit about, of how that is a little more dangerous, but it is quite possible. Jamming GPS devices and things like that. Some recent examples, in 2008, some students from Zurich actually did a research project that was actually really cool. They took a couple of USRPs, programmed some custom code, and they found ways that they could actually impersonate Wi-Fi access points to throw off a Skyhook, which was pretty cool. So you can just Google that and you'll find information about that. GPS jammers, these are illegal in the United States. So just wanted to let you know, you can buy them for about $50 overseas, but they are illegal. Because you think about the implications of jamming GPS, emergency services, ambulances, hospitals, things, life-threatening type things could happen by using one of these devices. But they are out there.
And this is even getting worse because more and more systems are embedding this. It started with those the micro cell towers, having GPSs in them that if they're not in the right location, they turn off. And I'm actually seeing reports from vendors of really expensive equipment that are saying if this piece of equipment's not here, it's going to turn off. So if you start jamming it, you're going to actually start breaking stuff like that.
Right. Of course, some of the more fun attacks are abusing the users themselves. So who's heard of Phone Losers of America? PLA? Woohoo! Yeah, PLA is awesome. Love PLA. If you haven't checked out their podcast or gone to their site, highly, highly recommend it. You're on it. So we have two right up here. Excellent. So PLA did a great little thing called Foursquare stalking, which I thought I was very fond of, where they were actually calling people up in locations such as Starbucks or restaurants, calling the restaurant, looking for these tweets and things from Foursquare and calling them and say, hey, I have somebody's here on the phone for you. The waiter would bring the phone over and the person would be freaked out that somebody actually called me and called my location. So here's this kind of a thread from Facebook of some woman that was just kind of like, oh my God, someone is stalking me. And you know what? It's the person actually put their location up on the social network. They did public, and everyone was able to see this. And so,
not only their social network, but where they were.
Right.
We
exactly.
Were able to call.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Use your imagination of how much fun you could have with this. But they did a whole podcast on it. Highly recommend you guys check it out.
Flip around to social engineering. Mm-hmm. The ability to call their company
right?
And say,
imagine that. Yeah.
Hey, I'm here. I'm on vacation, but I need to get access to your system, right? We used to always have to make it up. I'm in Spain, honest. Now we know where they are.
Yep. And there's been some sites that have come out recently, like I Can Stalk You, PleaseRobMe.com. I liked PleaseRobMe.com because it actually changed the tweets on Twitter from Foursquare and saying, hey, I'm not home, come rob me. And I'm off in Europe or wherever. Just to kind of spread some awareness of some of the dangers of showing your location to the world like that. I Can Stalk You was done by, I believe, Larry Pesci. Yep. And a few other gentlemen. They took the information from the geotags from Flickr, from TwitPic, and all the different social networks that aggregate pictures, yep. And then they showed those on a Twitter feed.
I think the Please Rob Me really makes it come across to people, yeah. Right? Yes, sir.
There you go. Tell Brad I said hi. Yeah, Brad made a nice theme song for Security Justice and tried to start a fight between ourselves and Pull.com a couple DEF CONs ago. Which was entertaining. So,
and who would have won the fight?
I don't know. That's a good question,
Brad.
I just give Paul beer, and he would just yeah. Brad is evil. Yes, I love Brad.
I can't believe you said we seem nice.
Oh, okay.
I appreciate that. Thanks.
Yeah. That's right. Right. So, last couple weeks, there's been a new tool that was released called Creepy. It works on Windows and Linux. This is the tool I was talking about that will go out, yep, to Twitter, go out to Flickr, and it will take as much geolocation data that it can find about you from those networks, from lots of different services, TwitPic, all kinds of things, and then correlate it on a nice Google map with plots, and you can actually see in a time-based window of where someone's been at. And it goes back really far. Yeah. This is just a shot of all the fake locations that I've put on Twitter. And that goes back almost 2 years. So you can imagine, yeah.
I just get a kick out of all the fake locations I've been.
Not real. Yep, yeah. That's right. So here's where you can download it from. You can also Google it. It's a really cool tool, yeah. But scary. So some Wi-Fi techniques, these are the ones that we're already familiar with, the sniff and spoof, man-in-the-middle attacks, I can grab geolocation data that way. Fire Sheep, which has been, kind of beaten to death, but, that's still a way to get geolocation and things like that and take over somebody's Facebook account. What's interesting is people are saying now that Facebook has enabled HTTPS as a setting, this now prevents Fire Sheep, and that's BS.
Yeah, because in most cases, people turn it on. How many people here have turned on the HTTPS for Facebook, right? Yeah. How many of you then used a third-party app that didn't support HTTPS and it silently unset
like Farmville
that settings? Right? Farmville, yeah. and Mafia Wars, they'll actually turn around and turn off the settings. So the next time you come in, unless you're paying attention, you may not realize it.
And guess
the
what?
The fact that Facebook allows them to do that is
so you're still
atrocious.
Sending that auth cookie across to those applications. And you could still grab that.
Not this conference, though.
No. No one would ever use that here. So here's some ways to abuse the location. So again, we talked about some proxies. That's some ways to do that. Tor, obviously, is still slow. I know they're working on it. Had to mention it. Who's played with Google Sharing from Moxie? Yeah, really, really cool plugin. I mentioned this just because of it scrambles up your search data within Google, but thinking about the interesting possibilities that can scramble your location data might be something pretty cool. With Firefox, it's fairly easy. You do about config into the URL, and you can get all your settings. You can go down and look for the geotags, and then change that to whatever you want. You can change it to a script to automatically change your location every 5 minutes. You could have it do interesting things, like what I did is I have it put me in my favorite place, Area 51, on Twitter. That's my permanent location, by the way, on Twitter, is it's Area 51, those coordinates. There's plugins that you can get. This is the geolocator plugin available for Firefox, which you could just select what location you want, and it pops it in fairly easy. Fake location with the mobile devices, you could do this with all the major platforms. So with the BlackBerry and with your iPhone, Android devices, there's a fake location app for iPhone and Android that you can get. There's a geolocator Firefox plugin, which I mentioned. And of course, you can just go to like touch.facebook.com, their mobile site, and then manipulate it yourself.
And by the way, if you want to create a malicious iPhone app, start taking control of phones, call it a fake locator app.
Yep. People will download it like crazy
because they think it's funny.
Exactly. Yeah. So here's just some screenshots of kind of what this looks like, the fake location app. You choose the app that you want to fake the location for. It supports more than just Facebook, which is nice. And you take your fake location. I'm at Area 51. Go into your Facebook app, and it actually will show you that your location is being faked. And then now you can start using things like Places, and now I'm in all these different locations with all these other people. Facebook Places was interesting when it came out because there was no notification at the time of you tagging your friends in certain locations. So this is just a screenshot of me tagging a lot of my friends at the Zombie Museum and, of course, the 24-hour liquor mart in Vegas, which I had tagged Chris Nickerson and some others there.
Yeah, I found out I was in the Zombie Museum when I went on Facebook and saw it on my news feed.
Now Facebook will notify you if you're tagged, and you have to approve it. But of course, you know, how many of us can figure those settings?
Yeah. And even if you don't approve it, like if Tom tags me and I don't approve it, it still shows up on his profile that I was there. Right? It just doesn't show up on mine.
Abusing the games. So how do you abuse Foursquare? This was in the news, you know, maybe last year about how to game the system. So I want to get all those mayorships and badges. We can easily do this with lots of different apps. There's scripts to do this. There's even a Metasploit module that Chris Gates wrote to do this kind of thing. So it just kind of shows you how easy it is with just a little bit of creativity to game these systems. You know, for what, I don't know, but
well, there's money tied to that.
I mean, in some cases, yes.
If I'm the mayor of Starbucks, I get free coffee. Mm-hmm. So I don't know about you, but I like free coffee, even if it is Starbucks coffee and not Tim Hortons. Based on it. Yeah. And then malicious Facebook apps, my favorite thing in the world. When Facebook released their application API, let's just say I didn't get a lot of sleep. We're able to pull all of this data in from the applications within the social network automatically, right? Behind the scenes, nobody knows it's happening. They might get a pop-up, no big deal. And so we can actually stalk the users. And if you guys have listened to any of the other talks we've done about social zombies, the amount of information you're putting on the social network is now tied to your physical location, and the third-party apps can grab it. I mean, it's amazing. And forget black hat attackers, but from a penetration testing perspective and verifying that this user on Facebook is in scope for me to push malicious code down, hell, they're sitting at their office desk. I know it because of third-party location. Done. Right? And then, of course, HTML5. I love HTML5.
Circle back to HTML5.
This is great. The W3C, I've got to say it again. Whoever is supplying the drugs to the W3C... they are just incredible. It's amazing the things they're doing. So what we started doing was back when Beef was PHP based, right? The PHP version of Beef. We actually built a module that we were jokingly calling Homing Beef, because if you threw the steak, it knew where it was. And it was a plugin to Beef that would retrieve your geolocation. So how many people here have played with Beef? How many people here think Wade Alcorn's a god? Right? I mean, it's just incredible what Beef can do, but now to actually track your victims as they move around and see where they are just makes it much easier, right? And one of the things I keep talking about is scope testing. You know, I don't know how many people in the room are pen testers, but one of the biggest things we have to worry about is if we're doing client-side attacks, is that client in scope? Because when you hack the wrong client, bad things happen, right? We just Frank and I just had it happen a couple months ago. We broke into a police station by accident, right? And if you want to break into the wrong place by accident, a police station would be it, because not only can they arrest you, they know how. But being able to track location makes that scope limitation much better, much prettier. We could flip. Okay. So this is what the Beef module looked like. Again, for the PHP version of Beef is what we built this for. And what it was able to do was actually just be able to shove down. It was part of the HTML5 modules, right? And my understanding is it's actually in the HTML5 branch of the Beef SVN repository. So you can pull it down. Very simple code. As we'll talk about in the next slide, this code was iffy. It would work, and then it wouldn't work. Like, literally, in the same browser session, it would retrieve the geolocation once and then stop doing it after that. And we were having trouble with the client applications. So it works, but the client caused problems with it. Now, of course, as the clients are being upgraded, patches are coming out, geolocation is becoming more important to the client browsers, this is becoming more stable. Now, this was the PHP version. You flipped. That's okay, because I was about to get to, I was going to ask you to flip, so it's perfect timing. In this next version here, so actually flip, thanks. You had flipped right. In the Ruby version of Beef, which is now considered stable, right? Up until January, it was considered alpha. It's now considered a stable release. In the Ruby version, another person, and I apologize, I am totally blanking on the name. I should have put it in the slide, because I'm blanking on the name of the developer who wrote it. But they actually built a Ruby version of the geolocation attack. So pull it back. As you can see here, we're actually able to pull the coordinates and display them. And then there's work being done to actually display it in a nice Google map as it was on the previous slide. IE is still problematic, even with IE9. Frank and I, over the last couple days, have been trying to fix that, and I think we've got it. And I just went to sleep last night, so I didn't finish it. And when we finish it, we're going to submit it back over into the Beef code to get it done. But, I mean, the Ruby version of Beef, how many people are using it? And all the people that are using, oh, you have to upgrade. It is 20 billion times better than the PHP version. Just the interface, the abilities to do it, the new plugins, some of the persistent plugins are great. Because that was one of the problems with the PHP version, right? You hooked a browser, they walked away, you lost them, right? You had to convince them to stay on the page. In the Ruby version, they actually have modules that are designed to persist your attack without going so far as what I did in ShmooCon last year of releasing a Firefox plugin to do it, right? The Ruby version is great. You can pull the geolocation, and then you can actually use the geolocation in the other attacks. You know, when we start talking about pop-ups and dialog boxes or defacing the website to say, hey, what's your password? We can actually come back and say, we see that you're not at home. Can we verify who you are? Right? Since you're coming from that location, can we verify? You know, different attacks like that to go after people. So
of course, you know, having said all that, yeah. You know, there's obviously the privacy and security issues with this technology. And like Kevin was mentioning, it's really amplifying the old attacks that we've always seen. Yeah. But it has to do now with this inadvertent location sharing. Like I mentioned about Twitter and about your mobile phone, you're usually letting this stuff run in the background, and you may not even know it's enabled at times, or you forget about it, and your location is just being shared. Yeah. So this stuff, you know, things like cyber stalking and physical security type issues are really just amplified now. This is a stalker's dream. And we've seen countless stories in the news about college girls getting stalked this way, or ex-husbands that are maybe hostile ex-husbands stalking ex-wives. Things like this we see all the time in the news, and it's because of this geolocation technology now, where it's so easy to pull this information.
Not only is it easy, but people don't even think about it. I mean, I would add ignorant location sharing, because people think it's a good idea.
Right. What's kind of scary when you talk about the iPhone, Apple has 159-plus page terms of service. I mean, who actually reads that, right?
And you get it on your little iPhone.
Yeah, you get it on your iPhone. Yeah. It says, hey, it changed. Yeah. Click here to accept, right? You don't really read that. But
I do.
You probably, except for you.
Excuse me? It's really clear, but
it's the retina display.
Right.
This was kind of scary. So basically, Apple states that, you know, when you're using any of the apps that you download for the App Store, you agree to give your information, your geolocation, in many cases, to these third parties automatically, just by using an iPhone.
Notice that it doesn't clarify if you say yes to sharing the geolocation. So the implication here is, even if you say, no, don't let this app see my geolocation, the terms of service says they can still have it. I don't know if they do.
Right.
I'm just saying that's the implication. Yes, sir?
Subtle question. On some phones, if you turn off the icon, it normally, you have example of a geolocation. Mm-hmm. Is that turning off geolocation, or is it just turning off the GPS and still doing it via wireless, like with Android?
Yeah. That's the interesting thing, is if you turn off the GPS, it'll fall back to the Wi-Fi.
Right.
So, like, especially on the iPhone. Yeah. Looks like, well, the pointer,
right.
What is it actually doing? Is it turning off the geolocation period, or is it turning off GPS?
So for the recording, the question was the icon, like the little arrow or the crosshairs that says, hey, I'm doing location tracking right now, honest. What is, if I turn that off, what is it actually doing? The answer that I've seen through my research, because we do a lot with mobile security, it depends not only on the phone, but also on the rev of the OS running on the phone. So like different versions of Android, some of them turn off location-based services entirely. It doesn't matter if it's GPS, Wi-Fi, what have you, it's off. Other ones, that's just turning off the GPS, in which case the fallback is happening. You assume.
Maybe.
Most mobile apps don't use TLS.
How do you check to make sure that when you say location off, it's really not passing location anymore?
Less than a half-assed measure.
Yeah.
I don't have an answer for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Wrapping it in tinfoil is not going to work.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
The interesting thing with Android also is if you go into airplane mode, which turns off like the Wi-Fi cellular radio, it doesn't count the GPS on the description. It still keeps GPS on, even if you're in airplane mode. We've been doing that, which would kill all wireless.
It seems like I have very little visibility into what it's actually doing.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you really trust Google? I mean,
they're not evil.
No, they got rid of that slogan. They got rid of the slogan.
Why would they say that if they aren't?
They don't say it anymore.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, slightly maniacal. Nice.
They say we're not evil.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, lastly here, forensic implications. So, what does your browser, what does your mobile browser, your mobile phone leave behind? Do you erase it properly if you sell it on eBay or Craigslist? No. A lot of people don't. We did a local news story here for one of the reporters on Channel 3. She gave us her old iPhone, and we were able to pull up all kinds of stuff about her location information, the geotags in her pictures. She was just going to basically give it back to AT&T and say, here's the phone. There's proper procedures you got to do to erase your information. Actually, with the iPhone, if you use iTunes built-in erase, that's actually the best method to do it.
Surprisingly.
It actually wipes it, surprisingly. So something to consider.
What about corporate phones?
Yeah, corporate phones.
How many of you have a corporate phone? It tracks location. I've actually worked a case where one of the pieces of evidence we were able to show was, according to your phone, you were here when the attack happened. It was you, right?
So really the solution is these privacy-enhancing technologies called PETs. So these are things that can help anonymize your location. I kind of mentioned about the Google sharing type of projects that are coming out. The EFF sponsors a lot of these projects. I definitely say go ahead and check those guys out because they're doing a lot of great things. You got to have the ability to turn this stuff off. Later revisions, we talked about the different variations in the revisions of the iPhone and the Android OSs. They're all a little bit different. The latest version of the iOS 4 actually does have a feature now to completely turn off geolocation, which is nice to have. And it goes back to what the W3C devs are doing.
I already told you what they're doing.
Right, they're smoking crack. So, right. One way in Google you can find out what's going on with your account is the Google dashboard. Not a lot of people know about this, but this kind of gives you a scary view into everything that Google knows about you. And you can check out all the, with Blogger, alerts, your account, your geolocation, everything like that is provided in Google dashboard. So hopefully we can see more of this type of stuff with the different services where users can become more aware.
We should start demanding it.
Right, of where their information's at.
Right.
This is always an interesting type of, this is a diagram that I pulled off the web that just basically talks about where do you want to fall when it comes to sharing your location information. And most people fall up in this upper left quadrant here, which is I see you, you don't see me. So you're the lurker, right? You're the guy, you want to see everybody else's location, but you don't want to share yours. And this is where most people fall. But other people will, might want to see everything. I want to see all my stuff and your stuff. Or you're going to choose who sees us. So I would say most people fall in the two left quadrants.
And if you look at the malware that spreads through Facebook, where it's like, who wants to see who's looking at their profile? That's one of the most popular links for people to click on in social network sites. I want to see who's looking at me. It ties directly into this.
And of course, the business community, they're just starting to grasp this concept of geolocation. So we talked about how, you know, like Starbucks, for example, is going to give you free coffee, free lattes for checking in so many times to a location. There's prizes around this kind of stuff. But how do you truly verify a check-in if you're a business? With all these different technologies to abuse the system, you can easily get around a lot of this stuff. So it's something for businesses to consider. If you're putting out a promotion, it could easily be abused by some hackers or people that, yeah, you know, they want to game the system.
What about the flip side of it? How is the company protecting the geolocation information they just took from you to verify this?
Yep.
Right? Are we going to start seeing the HIPAA or the PCI of location data? No, I'm not recommending that. I'm just saying, right? Is that what's going to happen? If you're collecting it to give me a free coupon, are you protecting it, Epsilon? Oops.
Epsilon. How many of those got, yeah, we got those emails, right?
How many of those emails did you get?
Right.
I'm at 22.
So as a developer, you need to, have full disclosure of how you're using location-based data.
Not on page 155 of 159 terms of services. Right?
Exactly. Implement some of the technologies that help, enforce some of these rules, and of course demand and get involved with W3C from a developer perspective. That can really make an impact.
I think we all should start getting involved. All joking aside, because the corporations, the developers who don't understand the security ramifications of this, they're the ones driving this forward. If people like us can get involved and start saying, wait a minute, we understand the liking of it, but let's control it.
Right. Right.
Let's do it at least somewhat intelligently or soberly.
And of course, personal responsibility comes into a lot of this. So think about, to share or not to share. What are you going to share about yourself and your location? Are you going to share with just a select group of people? Are you comfortable with that? Or are you sharing everything about you with the whole world?
Yeah.
Example with the Facebook list, creating lists within Facebook, you're going to use these social networks. You may want to narrow down who you share that information with. Right. Think about things before you share your location. Think before you click kind of mentality. Think before you click on Kevin's links.
Nobody thinks before they click on my links.
And of course, read the terms of service and privacy policy if you can as the apps. You may be surprised of what they're allowed to do with your information.
And actually read it. Don't just skim it. Too many people say, I read that. When you ask them questions about it, they can't answer them. Right? Read it. Pay attention to it.
More information, you find out on socialmediasecurity.com. Definitely download our guides and look at all the research we've been doing. Kevin submitting the beef patches.
Yeah.
Those
once we
I think are already
them.
Up there. Yeah.
Yeah. For the Ruby version. Ones we're hoping to finish sometime in the next couple days.
Yeah. Follow us on the Twitter, and you can friend Kevin on Facebook.
Twitter.
He really likes it. He likes getting.
Yeah, I accept all friend requests. Yeah. Well, I actually didn't accept a friend request just 2 days ago, but it was malware requesting the friend, so I didn't accept that one. But yeah, please check it out.
Any questions? Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. I'll have the slides on socialmediasecurity.com by today.
By today. Good answer.
I was going to ask for a refinement about how Google indexes access points. All right. So iPhone, Apple just uses Skyhook. Google, I'm assuming, has their own thing.
Well, Google has already been caught in their Google Map van. They're collecting wireless
driving,
access points.
Collecting stuff.
Yeah.
The question, though, do they also use people's phones for... as a distributed war drive, because the reason I asked this...
Of course they don't. Who would come up with
that? Well, Dr. Kahuna showed me this script. He said it was for finding a phone based on the phone's MAC address. I have not been able to confirm that, but I typed in the MAC address of an access point I had down in Outer Zone, down in Atlanta, way from where I live. And I just happened to use his script, and it's like, oh, it wasn't his script. He's the one who's pointing to me. I used it, and it found my access point that I had down in Atlanta like a couple weeks before. Yeah. And it seems like incredibly odd that
you just happened
Google
to be there.
Cars was driving by for Street View at that exact time.
There are a lot of questions about where Google gets their information. Yes. And Google is not very open about that because they treat it as a trade secret. How they do their search algorithms, their page rank, they collect that data. They don't talk a lot about that. There are symptoms, such as the one you described, that would imply that they're using something other than the vans. I would lean toward believing that the Google dashboard, the Google toolbar, the Google phone apps, and things like that may be where that's coming. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying that the symptoms are there, that it's coming from somewhere else, and that's the only place I can think of. Right? Or they're buying it from Skyhook. that they're also behind the scenes licensing it from a company like Skyhook.
We're going to have to cut it, but we can be available here right after the talk for any other questions. Thanks a lot for attending, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.